I'm here at the Media 140 mini meeting with Paul
Harrison
and Paul Squires, both called Paul. Now this is going to get confusing, isn't it? Paul Squires, what do you do, Paul?
I am head of digital for a publishing agency called Somersault Communications.
And what do you do, Paul?
I'm a managing partner of Carve Consulting, which is a corporate social networking practice.
So are you both professionally involved in social media?
Well, for us, yeah, that's we're a pure play consulting practice, so this is, we kind of live and breathe this stuff for our sins.
Have you always done that?
We started in 2006 doing this. My background is advertising, and our, you know, our consultants mostly come from PR or consulting. So we're in for the long haul, and it's glad the world is kind of turning. You know, thanks to initiatives like Media 140, it's turning. Everyone's really getting aware of it now.
So the corporates are starting to get that this is important to their bottom line.
Exactly. I think a lot of them hoped it would go away. They stuck their head in the sands, but really they can't. You know, they can't ignore their constituents, and it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing for companies, and it's a great thing for our industry.
So what's driving the companies here?
I think two things: fear and the idea that they're missing an opportunity. And fear is that their brand is being defined by people external to them. You know. And I think the second thing is that everyone's thinking, whether it's JP Morgan recruiting elite grads on Facebook to Vodafone doing outstanding stuff in terms of customer acquisition with CRM, that companies realise that if they can get it right, social is the most powerful, unprecedented opportunity to engage their customers in dialogue. And the best ones are starting to get it, I think. I hope.
Okay, Paul Harrison, thanks very much. Now, Paul Squires, have you got a media background?
My background is almost predominantly client-side digital. So if you include Usenet, then my first experience of social media was about 93, before the web graphics, stunningly.
Cool. Yep.
But blogs 2002 onwards.
And
bulletin boards, all that sort of thing. So blogging 2002 onwards, being client-side, head of online for E.ON, Rolls-Royce, and public sector organisations as well.
So is your role generally technical?
No. It's all about the people.
Okay.
I guess what traditionally I've aimed to do in organisations is to try to kind of work with people from across various disciplines, whether it's brand and comms traditionally, or customer services, and obviously there was a great conversation earlier about that. To try to kind of take them forward and bring them into this journey and work with them for common goal. So, for example, with E.ON, what we did with customer services was work with Money Saving Expert and actually put some of our customer services guys into Money Saving Expert. And actually, I checked this evening, the guys that I worked with a year ago are still there answering people's queries and hopefully attracting and retaining new customers into that as well.
On social media?
On social media.
They're doing this on social media. I want to wind back the conversation a little bit where we started, which was bulletin boards.
Yeah.
So are we basically saying social media is nothing new at all? All we're doing is squeezing it into a different pipe each year?
It really depends on, I guess, what your definition of social media actually is. You know, I guess no media wants to be unsocial and no company wants to be unsociable. It's just how you actually contextualise and frame that.
Yeah.
You know, even those with the most controlled communications like Apple and those with the most controlled product stream have an element of social media, and their social media is the huge volume of advocacy. Whereas from, you know, from my perspective, working in kind of larger organisations, you know, recently obviously a utility company, you find very few people out there who are fans of British Gas or fans of Enpal. They just choose them, but they're not huge, you know, they don't have the logos on their wall, for example. So it's how you define advocacy and how you actually convert and turn people from being aware into ultimately becoming advocates. I mean, that's a goal for everyone. But it's really about how you generate and contribute and become part of the overall valuable mix that benefits not only the consumer, but also the brand, i.e. the company as well.
Okay, I think an important point that's arising from this particular conversation is that it's not a one-size-fits-all, that different organisations, companies, third sector, etc., government, they're going to be able to use the social media, but they're going to be able to use it in different ways, or they ought to be using it in different ways. Paul Harrison.
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the guys tonight made the absolutely right point, you know, where you know, organizations have got to, they've got to listen, they've got to, you know, for us, it's a very clear, linear roadmap of getting social. It's one, listen and learn, two, develop a matrix and a strategy, and three, implement it, you know, with authenticity and conviction. And, you know, there's so much box ticking, there's so much tokenism, you know, so many people are jumping into this stuff without really thinking about it. There is no one size fits all. Definitely there's some best practice you can follow, but companies have got to listen, they've got to understand their market, their competitors, their constituents, their, and, you know, and build a strategy based on learning and not being arrogant and trying to not think like a big company, trying to think like a small company.
Okay, we've had a little bit of a conversation going on the Media 140 tweet stream, more than actually live here, about the outsourcing thing.
Yep.
So we had a little conversation. We hit on it live back there a little bit about outsourcing. Now, maybe I'm going to get a slightly biased answer from you, Paul Harrison. This is a highly skilled job.
My view is, I'm actually quite, you know, passionate about this, and it is that, honestly, you know, an organisation cannot honestly outsource its authentic voice. It doesn't matter how fantastic your PR firm or, you know, we're a consulting firm, or we advise companies. For us, it's very much about giving them the tools and everything else. What we do, if I can plug for a second, is help them on that path. You know, we have a business called CommunityManager.pro, when we embed like an RPO model, you know, community managers right into the client who live and breathe the brand to help them with that. But you can't outsource your authentic voice, to me. And I think the very best companies, they're helping, they're getting advice, they're getting advisory, they're getting support, they're getting external voice to challenge them. But the very best companies are taking that expert consultancy that we all kind of offer and doing it themselves and experimenting. And, I mean, no one's a guru. I hate that. It's about experimentation, and we're really passionate about that.
Okay, I want to tie you down on this point a bit, because say I'm a big company and I want to make a television ad.
Yeah.
Now, that television ad has to represent my company voice, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I don't make it myself. I ask ABC advertising makers to make an advert for me. But I tell them, hey guys, you're really good with cameras and making ads, but this is my company voice, so make damn sure you catch it in the ad.
Yeah.
How's that different to a company asking a tweet agency to get their voice and tweet it for them?
Well, it's the fundamental difference between a broadcast one-to-many to a kind of one-to-one relational-based thing. And if you want to unleash the power of it, you have to seek control and build this thing from the bottom up. Trust your people.
Yeah, I think all of these are constituent parts of brand personality. So you know, they're different parts of the media mix, and you know, television advertising is still there. ITV still has money coming in, as do other commercial broadcasters, clearly. But many advertisers also have social media channels. They all use online, so it's all part of the media mix. It's really about how conversational that campaign has to be, or should be, or wants to be. And even, you know, conversations out there which are completely uncontrolled add value.
Publicity is bad publicity.
Well, maybe
that's a little different in this, like, quite cruel social media world at times.
It's a very good point. As to whether no publicity is bad publicity. I mean, I think that... It's really how companies contextualise that bad publicity. So where you hear chatter of, you know, I really hate that chocolate bar is fundamentally different to people saying I really hate that Cadbury's chocolate bar. Do you know what I mean? It's really how that brand permeates and how companies want to see that brand permeating into the conversations, and then how that conversation occurs.
Yeah.
So brand management is totally still there, you know, as it always has been. It just takes a very different shape.
And I think it's a really good point, you know, because obviously as practitioners within, you know, corporate social networking or social media, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's quite easy to become utterly myopic and kind of, and obviously we're evangelists for the platform and the tools and for the thinking. But, you know, it is one part of a very complex brand management strategy, a media mix and everything else, and we shouldn't really lose sight of that. And I think tonight was good because people are talking about customer service and social CRM, but also in the context of, here's a real company, it's a real people, it's part of a broader mix. I do think about the crisis management thing. I think, you know, in 2010, I mean, you know, everyone is connected now. Things like Google social search are making it so much easier to comment, make reviews. And I think there's not an organisation on the planet that won't have a negative, a social crisis, whether it's an ad for employee, you know, urinating a bin, kicking it over and posting on YouTube. The best companies is how they deal with it. And in that case, they were listening, so they A, they knew about it, and B, rather than, you know, the old school approach would have been A, ignore it, and kind of don't go head in the sand.
B, deny it,
and, you know, get the chief executive right out.
And then C, spin it.
But now, you know, what Asda did is they went down to that store, to Fullwood, you know, with some flip cameras, they shot some of his ex-employees and said, what do you think? And they posted them right next to the offending videos. And they left the comments open. It was like, you know, it was a really good way, I think, a great way of demonstrating about understanding how these things work and you know, being doing it in a kind of authentic way.
So it's presented an opportunity rather than something that organisations and companies should fear.
Exactly. It was opportunity. And you know what? And what it was, they had four employees and they were like, you know what? I've worked in this Asda store for 10 years. Customers aren't my friends. I'm really upset that customers would think that happened in a bad, you know. We work really hard, we're a great team. And so they turned a really horrible situation into something, a real positive one from an employee engagement point of view, from a brand point of view. And I think the best companies are getting it like that. Listening's the key.
Okay, one last question, quickly, if I may. We're here in January 2010. If we meet again in January 2011, what will be different?
Flying cars, Sunday lunch in a pill, you know, that sort of thing. You know, New York in half an hour. What would be different? I guess what would be different is that social media loses the word social. It's just media that has a sociable personality. It's just there. You know, people that use Facebook, Twitter, in terms of those that are not in this discipline, don't necessarily call it social media. They just say, let's go on Twitter.
I don't think have heard the expression social media.
But they make a contribution that's equal to every contribution that we make to that platform, right? So it's less about wrapping it up into a kind of nice, cozy discipline, but actually just making it so permeable that we just understand it as just another part of the media mix. Exactly.
So what you're basically saying is it's going to become ordinary instead of something that's held on some kind of pedestal.
I guess social media, you know, before the term became popular, it was called things like social networking, you know, blogging, you know, and your point about bulletin boards, you know, this kind of stuff about people talking to other people, or companies talking to other people using digital technology has always had a term. And this term may indeed stick around, but ultimately, you know, if you look at things like the way in which print is moving to online and regional newspapers tanking globally, but certainly in the US, you know, they're moving to digital media. And it's not ostensibly a kind of framed social media place for them. It's just where everyone now congregates. Yeah. So therefore, by definition, because it has more than two people there, it's eminently sociable.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, a couple of things. One, I think one of the speakers, I don't know anyone's name, the guy from Like Minds or Fresh Networks, Fresh Minds, anyway.
Charlie Osmond,
thank you.
Fresh Minds,
there we go. I mean, he made the point about a social media backlash, and I think there will be one. I think lots of firms are getting bad advice, doing things for the wrong reasons, thinking it's some kind of panacea in terms of, you know, the free way to target people. I think there'll be a bit of backlash. I think we'll see, and I take no joy in it, but I think we'll see a lot of very high-profile advertising agencies and PR firms fail. And because, you know what, they haven't got the IP, they haven't got the frameworks, they haven't got the ability to self-thinking. And I think we're going to see a radical shape-up of the UK media landscape. And thirdly, I think, kind of building on your point, Paul, is that, you know, the firms will start to realise that, you know, we shouldn't think of Facebook like websites. You know, I think, you know, they're like, you know, Facebook and Twitter, they're like operating systems. And I think the very best firms will build applications.
Ecosystems.
And they'll build their applications and experiences on top of those. And I think, you know, the very best firms will really, really see the reap what they sow in terms of being experimenting and being brave and being honest.
I think just adding to that, it's going to be a really, really interesting year for clients, particularly corporates. It's going to be a fantastic year for them.
Brilliant point to end it on. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.